Good morning.
It's good to be here with you. It's bright up here, that's for sure. Maybe the only thing that's bright. Good. Well, it's wonderful to be with you, and as we open up God's Word, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the blessings of Christ. Thank you for the goodness of God. And we thank you for this wonderful time of year where we can celebrate and think about the risen Savior. And but we thank you that we can celebrate his birth and the process that he went through, his identification with humanity and with his life being an example, a testimony, and ultimately a sacrifice. But we thank you, Lord, that he's risen and that we have a hope. And we praise you and we worship you this morning. We say all these things in the precious and most worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Very good. I would like you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now, this time of year is obviously that's one of the things that's probably a little bit easier sometimes to choose what you're going to speak about, right? And because it's a fairly captive audience, and we know that each and every one of us are aware that Christmas time is here, and we live in a world, obviously, that minimizes more the birth of Christ and rather just the holidays itself. And we could sit around, complain bitterly about it, right? We could do that, and we could even just get all mad about it. But I'm not going to do that, because then we just give in to what the world wants, right? For us to just get mad. What we do is we live out in our sphere of influence the life and the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the privilege you and I have. And every day, you and I have that privilege to be able to share about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. And so I want to encourage you that as you go through this week, and even as maybe you fight a little, don't throw too many elbows there in the shopping mall or anything like that. Although there's probably a good percentage of people here that shop online now. When we do, just show that extra kindness and extra gentleness. Be like the English, they say Happy Christmas. I always like that. I always like how the English say Happy Christmas. We say Merry Christmas, but the English, I'm not going to imitate their accent or anything like that, but they say Happy Christmas. And that's just be joyful, because you never know who you could run into and encourage them. The first slide this morning here says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Those beautiful words from the prophet Isaiah, as he brought forward his clear indication that one day, in a coming day, there would be someone that would be born. And we know that there's a lot of people who recognize maybe Jesus as a historical figure. Maybe they recognize him as a prophet. They recognize him. And some people just don't believe it at all. But the Lord Jesus, we know, was true and real. The historian Josephus was very clear in his writings that that there was a man named Jesus who walked the face of the earth. And so as we read about him and the consistent descriptions of who he was and what his character was like, we by faith can believe and trust in God. That's something that no one can take away from you. And so as we continue to count down the days, and a week from now it will be Christmas Eve, one of the things that I want to encourage all of us is to really focus in on those of us who do know the Savior, but focus in on sharing the gospel with someone during this season. Just if I could encourage you, even I could say target them in a good Christian way, but you know, let them know about what your hope is about, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's a colleague at work, whether it's someone at school, whether it's someone that you may know that just needs to hear about the Lord Jesus. It is the most wonderful message that we could tell. Today, I've titled my message this morning, The Privileged. The Privileged. And now, we need to understand this context, first of all. What is privilege? That word gets bantied about a lot today, right? The privileged. And unfortunately, it gets attached to certain ethnic groups, and it gets attached to maybe people that live in certain nations, or maybe people with a certain financial status, and we throw this around. And I think us as parents who live here in Canada, often when we say to our children, and they start complaining about something that they shouldn't really be complaining about, we'll say, "Do you know how privileged you are?" Right? How many times as a parent you've said that? "Do you know how privileged you are?" You know, and you start naming all the things that they have, and all the things that they've been purchased for them, you know, and so often children don't realize that there are places in the world today who are suffering, and children who have no hope, and a lot of children who are growing up in war zones and poverty, and our heart breaks. And if your heart is not breaking, I would encourage you to maybe read a little bit and find out what's going on, and how. And if there's a way that you can help a family, you know, my wife and I were talking about it the other day, and one of the great ways that you can help underprivileged families in other parts of the world is actually buy a goat, and buy a goat for them. You can buy a goat, and you can send the money to. There's some very reputable and good organizations that actually go, and they for a family that can. Have sustenance and goat's milk and all those things that are necessary and for their sustenance in life. We are privileged. But I want to look at the privileged here in the scriptures. And first of all, we've got Mary and Joseph. And Mary and Joseph, they were privileged. Now, they were poor, but they were privileged because they had a very personal encounter with God himself through that little child that was born at Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus Christ. Privileged. There was Elizabeth, not my wife, although I believe she's very privileged. But Elizabeth in the scriptures, and she was the cousin of Mary, and she was a very privileged woman because she had an opportunity to get to know the Lord Jesus, probably in a personal way. We don't have any accounts of them meeting up other than when the Lord met John the Baptist, but when he was baptized. But we do know that when Mary, and we will read about it, Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and she had the privilege of knowing that the baby that was going to be born to her cousin was the Messiah himself. So she was privileged. There were shepherds. The shepherds were privileged. They were the first to hear about the Lord. And then they were able to go and visit him in a manger, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then finally, there's Simeon and Anna. They are these people who were found in the temple on the eighth day after the Lord was born. They were able to see him personally, and we're going to read a little bit about them. So these were the privilege that I want to talk about today. There were others as well. We know throughout the pages of Scripture, we could include Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, but there's not much that we hear of a personal encounter with the birth of the Lord in the same way. But these individuals have always caught my attention. And so let's go into Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 to 38. We're not going to read everything there, but we are going to read a little bit here. In the sixth month, verse 26, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. A descendant of David, the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you're highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be just as you have said." Then the angel left her. May God bless his word. I did end up reading the whole passage that I mentioned. There's three things, and I've spoken before on these three things, but there's three things that always stand out to me in this particular passage. And the first thing that we see is that the angel says to her, "The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you." Now, the angel went to her, that's verse 29, and said to her, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Now, that was her surprise. You are highly favored, the Lord is with you. This phrase is really quite something. What he means by that she was highly favored, it means that she was greatly graced by God. Now, how was God with her? So Mary's response, it really reveals her humility, her honesty before God. She didn't expect to see an angel and receive special favors from God. There was nothing unique about her that she should, that this should happen to her. If she had been different from other Jewish young girls, some theologians claim, well, she might have said, "Well, it is about time, I've been expecting you." No, all of this was a surprise to her. And so we see her humility and we see her honesty. But when I read this, I often think of the fact that as the angel appeared to this young lady that believed, he says, you're highly favored, but he says these words, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Now, in my pastoral work, I conduct a lot of funerals throughout the year. It's not a job I really love or relish, but it is definitely something that God has given me a privilege to serve him in that way. And that is to comfort families who have lost a loved one, whether it's someone that's elderly or whether it's someone at their in their middle of life or even a young person. But in that moment of time with them, there is a stark contrast with the person who is a true believer and a follower of Jesus and a person who is not following Jesus, or they have nothing to do with Jesus. And it's distressing, to be honest with you. Sometimes the funerals are not that different from one another in the sense that they lift up the individual and they mark out all the ways that they have blessed the lives of others and been a blessing and how marvelous they were, and often they're good people, good parents, good fathers and mothers. But what makes the difference when you speak at the memorial service or the funeral of a loved one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? There's hope. There is a confidence in the faith that you mutually have. And I can say to that person, the Lord is with you. But sometimes when I go and I have a memorial service for someone who is not a believer, I don't think I can say those things with confidence. It's not to minimize the life of the individual, but it's wonderful when someone can say, the Lord is with you. Here, the angel comes to Mary and says, the Lord is with you. In other words, Mary had something of a living faith in God and an understanding of his goodness. But she didn't see herself as better than other Jewish girls. And she didn't see herself as privileged. But God granted her the privilege. And he said, the Lord is with you. Now, what was necessary for Mary? She had to react to what the angel said, and we read a lot about it. Her response was amazing. It was one of faith. How do we know that? By the end, in verse 38, she says, I am the Lord's servant. Did she ask questions? She was questioning. She says, how can this be? I'm a virgin. How can I have a child? I have not had a relationship in intimacy with Joseph. How can this be? And he says, I am the Lord. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. That's exercising faith. That was her response to the privilege that had been granted her. When we listen to the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and we're presented with an opportunity to respond in faith, what is your reaction? What is my reaction? Are we incredulous? Do we minimize God? Do we do we say absolutely not? We discard it. We live in a world that daily discards and rejects the message of faith that can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm always amazed at the amount of worship that goes on a Sunday around the world. The international timeline, where it starts out there in the Pacific. And it goes and it starts going and you hit the island of Fiji. Viva Fiji, right? And then we go to New Zealand and Australia. We start going into Hong Kong. Okay, gotta shout out for Hong Kong and China. And we keep going around the world. And I'm thinking to myself, there's enclaves of groups of congregations that are worshiping God all the way around the world. The Philippines, yes, can't forget the Philippines. And so all the way around the world, and here we are worshiping the Lord. And there are people that have had breaking of bread services. I had a very sweet, was involved in a very sweet breaking of bread service this morning of worshiping, remembering the Lord, and then worshiping and remembering God and speaking about Him and exalting His name. And that is a wonderful way that we exercise our faith and live out. And I just want to encourage you that we can learn from Mary when that angel said, "The Lord is with you." He said something else to her that I love a little bit farther along. And what does he say? He says, "Mary," she was greatly troubled at his word and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid." I don't know about you, but I, as I get a bit older, there's certain fears that have come over my life. You know, when my children, even though they're young adults, when they go somewhere, they travel, they, whatever they do, I pray for their protection. I know their mothers here and fathers, right? And we pray for our loved ones. We live in a dangerous world. Things can happen, accidents, we know that. But God has given us something that is wonderful, and that is that it doesn't mean that we don't have concern or even do things to protect our loved ones. But what it is that the angel said, "Look, I understand the circumstances. I understand how this could look like for your reputation. You're a young woman who's betrothed, but you're not married. And this is going to be a tough one." How do we know that? Well, later on, and we'll read about it, is Simeon, says to her that this child, I think it was Simeon, he says, "This child will pierce your soul." I mean, from birth to the end of his life, the Lord was probably somewhat difficult at times when Mary saw who he really was. But the angel tries to say to her, he says, "Do not be afraid." We know that she should not be afraid. It's easy for us to sit here as spectators reading the pages of Scripture. But he says to her, "Don't be afraid." Now, I may be speaking to someone here. Maybe you have some fears. Maybe there are things that are bothering you or hurting you or you're concerned. Maybe you have a loved one who's not well. Maybe a parent. Down in Chile, there's a sister that just passed away. I remember when she got saved, I was 10 years of age or 11 years of age down in Chile. She just passed away on Friday. You think about that, and you know, her family is going to miss her, but she was a faithful, wonderful believer and follower of Jesus. And the one thing that we can say to one another, even though we have grief, we can say, don't be afraid. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I don't want to say or scare you, but I you have something to fear. You do. Because if you're not sure what's going to happen upon your passing from this world, the Bible is very clear that we'll be separated from God for eternity. You see, she was someone who was a believer. She had fear. And the angel said, don't be afraid, because I will be with you. The third thing that he says to her is, for nothing is impossible with God. If you go down a little bit farther, there's a few other things that he says, because she questions him. But he says to her, the Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I don't know about you, but this Christmas season is the first time that I've really thought about, what does it mean that the Spirit of the Most High will overshadow you? It means the very presence, the very Spirit of God was involved in this conception. The perfection of God. You see, I was discussing with some friends about 2 weeks ago, and they had been in a Bible study where someone suggested that Jesus could possibly sin or choose to sin, but he didn't. And I'm of the mind that he is perfect in every way. There's no sin in him. The Bible's very clear. He knew no sin. And here it says the very Spirit of God will overshadow you. It means that the involvement of God in this conception and the presence of God was pure and holy and sinless. What a beautiful thing that God did. And he expected the best out of this young woman who had humility and honesty, who had no expectations of what God would do. And what does he say to her here? He says, the angel says, he says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she is to be in her sixth, she's in her sixth month. For nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And when we say with God all things are possible, if you were here last night, we heard a testimony from our sister Teresa. And what a wonderful testimony of God's faithfulness and goodness. For nothing is impossible with God. He can touch a life. He can heal. He can encourage. He can transform your life and heart. But you got to ask: Are you willing? Are you open? Are you ready to receive what God wants to do in your life? Because if we come here and just come and just punch the clock, so to speak, because it's a good thing to go to church. One of the things that disturbed me a number of years ago is that, and we've seen it happen, we used to see kids come through this Sunday school. And I remember I used to get letters, and I had to sign them, that they were involved in church because it was good for their university applications. And as soon as they graduated from high school, they graduated from church. And I was saddened at that. It's so sad. Because God desires an involvement with all of us. And if we yield our lives to Him, that we don't look at this as something that we culturally do, but this is not a religion, it's a relationship. And a personal, living relationship with the living God. And so when the angel speaks to Mary, he says, these are things that you can understand and builds her with confidence. He says, God is with you. And he says to her, don't fear. And he says to her, for nothing is impossible with God. I believe in the God of possibilities. I believe in the God that gave his son so that I could have life and hope and confidence beyond this life. And that's the one that we invite you to. God himself. But when we think about the others that are that I have mentioned. In Luke chapter 1 verses 39 to 45. We're introduced to some others in 39 to 45. Mary visits Elizabeth and she sees her. Elizabeth, verse 41, heard Mary's greeting and the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit in a loud voice. She exclaimed, blessed are you among women and blessed is the child you bear. She says, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And she says, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is he who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. This is another beautiful woman. Why do we say she's a beautiful woman? Think about it. She was a woman who, by rights, could have said, why didn't God bless me with the Messiah? I'm the wife of a priest. She had every reason to think that she should be more privileged than this young girl who was unmarried. That her reputation would have been marred. What does she say? She says, blessed are you. She goes, I'm so highly privileged, highly favored. What character? There was a woman of faith, a woman who believed. She understood the goodness and the grace of God. Can I encourage you to believe and trust in the living Savior? And think about how these people reacted to this wonderful message. Then we see how not only Elizabeth, but we see the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, if we go over there very briefly, Luke chapter 2 verses 8 to 20. And what do we see about them? They're out there in the fields. They're keeping over their watch. Now, it's interesting. They were the lowest common denominator on society. They were not considered individuals that were highly respected within Jewish society. It's interesting, I didn't know this until I was preparing for this message, that shepherds weren't even allowed to testify in court. They weren't even allowed to testify in court in those days. They were considered individuals who were probably unreliable. And God chose shepherds. You see how God is? He chose shepherds. And they were privileged, along with Elizabeth, to hear the message of the fact that the Savior had been born. And they searched and they found the Lord and they worshiped him there. They responded. You see, isn't it amazing how God, he reaches out and he gives the privilege to Elizabeth, the wife of a priest, a woman who would be respected and revered in society. And he also informs shepherds who were considered the lower age stage of society. Amazing how God brings all these individuals together. Then finally, we think of Simeon and Anna in verses 21 to 40 of chapter 2. And how the Lord is presented at the temple. And it says in verse 25 that there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he was moved by the Spirit, and he went to the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Now it says here, the child's father, Joseph, he marveled, and the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Simeon was privileged. And how did he respond? He was ready for the coming of the Messiah. There was Anna. It tells us about her. She was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all those looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Here on the eighth day, They were completing what God had asked them to do, to circumcise their child. There's two confirmations in the life of Mary and Joseph, in the life of Jesus, from people who were spiritual and people who had an understanding of God. And what happened? What did she do? What did Anna do? What did Simeon do? They praised and worshiped God. They were privileged. You know, we might think this woman, Anna, a prophetess, she spent her days and nights worshiping God and fasting in the temple. You know, for some people, they would say that's a wasted life. Simeon, he saw and he responded. And he told them, "This child will be definitely special." Now, who are we? We are also privileged because we have heard the message of the Messiah, the Savior, the risen Christ. And now, it's our turn to respond. It's our turn to listen to what God has in store for us. I urge you to consider the Messiah, Christ the Lord, who was born in Bethlehem so long ago. You know, I know Christians who they're always emphasizing the fact that Jesus was not born on December 25th. We know that. It doesn't matter. He was born. And Luke and Matthew, they both emphasize the birth of Jesus. It's got to mean something. And what was his purpose? To come to seek and to save the lost. So I encourage you to think about all those privileged people, but think how privileged you are, and I am, that God has revealed this message to us. And it's up to us, as Mary responded in faith, As Elizabeth exalted God, as Simeon and Anna and the shepherds, they responded and they worshiped. God wants to instill that heart in you. And all you have to do is believe and trust and be encouraged by the Christmas message. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, to seek the lost, and to have relationship with each and every one of us. He loved the world. And I encourage you to believe him. The Christ in the manger is the Christ that died on the cross, and is the Christ who will return to get us and return to us so that his church will be with him forever. I believe in him. Do you? So, I say, for all my Filipino friends from last night, Feliz Navidad. Okay, I had to put that in there for you because it was so great. Merry Christmas to everybody. May God bless you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the Lord Jesus. We worship you. We thank you. And we ask you to be with us as we go about the rest of our day. May Christ be exalted. And we ask you that you would be with us here at Christmas time. We pray for those who are suffering, of our congregation, who are not well. But, oh Lord, we also think of those who across the world are innocent in wars, are innocent in every situation. And, Lord, we just pray that you would meet their needs at this time. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the gift that he is. In Jesus' name, amen.